Pray with me from your bulletin. Holy God, help us listen with our hearts so we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. It's Independence Day Sunday. Time all across the U.S. for sermons about freedom and bravery. I've given a version of this message before, only that time the context was that we find heroes in the most surprising places. They're the people who calmly and confidently do the right thing, even though it's hard. There are several or even many sermons in any snippet of scripture or any topic you can mention. So this year, I'd like to uncover the truth that real freedom is in a life lived in Christ. Real bravery is made manifest by acting out the gospel. Now, I've heard people complain that the trouble today is that we don't have any heroes anymore. Well, that's just nonsense. I venture to claim that somewhere, someone is doing something heroic right this minute. I myself have many heroes. Journalists who died getting the truth out, lawyers who impoverished themselves getting justice for victims, missionaries who defended the vulnerable, a parent who stands at the bus stop in a blizzard going to work to provide for her family, environmental warriors, people who speak truth to power, doctors serving in war zones, abolitionists, soldiers, and public servants like firefighters who risk their lives every day doing dangerous jobs. There are many. All one has to do is pay attention. But hey, I'm in a church. Are there any people who did something heroic because of their faith? Can I make the case that these people are the truly free ones among us? Well, let's see. Let me start with the Hebrew scriptures. During the Babylonian exile, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were three young guys you probably know better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were without blemish. They were well-spoken. They had good parentage, good manners, good education. They were picked by the king to be around him as sort of trophy yes-men, civil servants from among the conquered Israelites. They and their families got extra privileges and extra wealth. They had their diet tampered with. Their names were changed to include the local gods. And they endured other insults. But the last straw was when they were required to kneel down to the king's man-made gods and worship. Here's scripture from Daniel. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king, who said to them, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods and that you do not worship the golden statue that I've set up? If you do not worship, you shall be thrown into the fiery furnace, and we'll see then who delivers you out of my hands." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to defend God to you in this manner. If God delivers us, let us be delivered. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the statue that you have set up. We will not bow down." The king was in such a rage that he ordered the furnace heated up beyond the maximum and ordered some of his strongest guards to bind the men and throw them into the blaze. But they were not hurt, and Nebuchadnezzar called them out. Their hair wasn't even singed, nor their clothing. They didn't even smell like smoke. And the king says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They disobeyed my commandment and offered up their bodies rather than serve any god but God." The word of God for the people of God. On the surface, this looks like a story about people who were rewarded with rescue for having great faith. You see, if your belief is just sufficient, nothing bad will happen to you, right? Afraid not. Look again. What it says is, God may help us or not, but whatever God decides to do, we will not bow down. And they climbed up into that furnace with every expectation of dying. We will not bow down. Is that not the essence of freedom? And then there's the New Testament and Jesus. Did he get up on that cross thinking, "Oh, well, in a couple days I'll be back and start a movement, no big deal"? I think there was a lot of pain involved, and dread, and humiliation, and more pain. But he had been called to a special assignment by God, and his part of the covenant brought him to die that dark Friday in a horrible way for us. Why would he do that? He doesn't even know us. But I guess he loves us, and that's a pretty big deal after all. Loving that much liberated him to go through hell. The act of a free son. By the way, Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, means God frees his people. Jesus' message was in his name. Fast forward to the 20th century. Now, there was a century chock full of opportunities for heroism. There was Charles James, Paul Rusesa Bagina, Corrie Ten Boom, Mary Beth Tinker, Andre and Magda Trokme, Reverend Heidi McGinnis, who sits in that corner sometimes, Lisa Williamson, also known as Sister Soldier, who wants to add to the good in the world and not the evil. Jackson Roosevelt Robinson, Archbishop Oscar Romero, Silas Sewell, who forbade his troops to fire on the Indians at the Sand Creek Massacre, and little Ruby Bridges. If you've never heard of them, look them up. Sophie Scholl was a 19-year-old graffiti artist and pamphleteer. The important thing about Sophie was that it was 1944 Berlin, and anti-Nazi pamphlets and graffiti were a capital offense. She told her brother upon joining the Underground Society of the White Rose that she could not be free in Christ and stand by and do nothing against Nazism. She paid with her life, but as far as Sophie was concerned, she said she finally lived and died a free person. There was Desmond Doss, a Quaker man who was a conscientious objector in World War II. He was despised and ridiculed and tormented by his peers without mercy. But he stayed in the medical corps and eventually earned a Medal of Honor, rescuing dozens of his comrades in combat, under fire, without ever handling a weapon. He carried them to safety, one by one. They didn't torment him anymore after that. This in no way diminishes the bravery of people who make other decisions. Make no mistake. But Das was happy with his choices and peaceful in his freedom. These heroes were freed in a way we all crave to be free. What do I mean by that? Freed from external validation, yes. Freed from attachment to stuff, yes. Freed from shame, yeah. Freed from old animosities and grudges, yes. And freed from the kind of fear that paralyzes a person and keeps them from acting out the gospel. Calm and confident in the love of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This freedom is creative, life-giving, life-affirming. It is worth anything. Here's the deal, the covenant. God's part of the bargain is to love us no matter what, to be with us. Our part is to love each other, that means everybody, and love God's creation, and to show grace to each other, and to worship no other God. Not the almighty dollar, nor safety, nor job, nor acceptance, nor success, nor your sports team. Not your political party, nor your land, your health, your body. You get the drift. You can fill in the rest. No other gods. That's what Sophie and Desmond and the others were doing, worshiping God with their decisions and their actions and their trust, their lives, their love, and finding freedom under God and in Christ. When I took training as a lay speaker, one of my teachers said, one way to go about preparing a sermon is to ask myself not what those people out there need to hear, but to instead ask myself what I need to hear. I also learned that it's easier to give 10 sermons than it is to live one. Well, I have given 10 sermons. This is the one I would like to live. God, help me to be brave and free and to be always in covenant with you and with Jesus as my leader, the gospel as my map. Amen.